Hey, this is Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
So welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 12th. Holidays today, there's a couple. Genealogy Day, Girl Scout Day, International Fanny Pack Day. Very important holiday in the world of pro wrestling, the International Fanny Pack Day. Plant a Flower Day, and if you're in Rochester, New York, where we are right now, it's St. Patrick's Day Parade Day, I guess. St. Patrick's Parade Day. That's going to be going on just a couple hours here in Rochester. Welcome to the show. Today, birthdays today. Today would have been Mae Young's 99th birthday. She passed away in 2014. And a happy birthday to Kenta Kobashi. You might remember him as Hideo Itami when he was in NXT. Kenta Kobashi from New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's 41 today. Go to sleep. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear, flowercityfear.com. And or flowercityrollerderby.com as well. And you know, we always can use help. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cashman. I'm joined by the whole crew pretty much today. I haven't seen Ferbs yet, but I'm sure he'll pop in unless he's down at the parade already. We got DC Dan Cole. Good morning, DC. How's North Carolina today? It is.
I was just saying it's way too damn cold here for March.
Oh, and go on, just tease us. What's the temperature?
38.
Okay, that's pretty cold. We're 24 here right now, and we've had snow all night. We're also joined by Danger Boy. He's from Gates, New York. Danger, and you may think his name is Amanda watching the show, but his real name is Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger.
Yes, it says that right on my birth certificate.
the artiste, Rob Sanderson from Rochester, New York, parts unknown of Rochester. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Artiste?
I don't even want to say good morning, but good morning, because it's cold and that weather was great this week. And so I hate this.
What is last night? It's like around 8 o'clock at night. I'm driving home. And it's this heavy duty snow is coming down, these heavy flakes. And it kind of rained converted to snow. And now
don't get used to it. Look at the weather for next week. It's supposed to be in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, we are in the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde part of the year right now in this area where it's 70. Remember last Sunday, what was it? 70? Was it Sunday? That was 70.
Yeah, had 73.
And had the 70 mile per hour gusts of wind here in Rochester, which kind of negates the beautiful day. You know, I mean, to me, it did at least, because you'd be chasing your garbage cans down the street and whatever else could get picked up in a 70 mile per hour wind. And if you're playing the game, the home game, the Pain Clinic home game right now, you can put in a check mark right next to the weather, because, that's on the bingo board. That's the first one we went to this week. But it is the St. Patrick's Day.
Daniel Bryan, garlic bread. pronouncing El Idolo.
El Idolo.
What are we missing?
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch.
Cash trying an Irish accent.
I'll try not to do that today. Or how about
on WWE?
How about Finn Balor? Okay, we got to
yeah.
Could put that one on there too. So, we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling, and it seems like, you know, it's good to get a smile out of everybody, even though it's a crappy cold morning here in Rochester and DC, of course, being North Carolina, and a nice cold day there. We're here to talk about pro wrestling, and we always have done the past 23 years. We're still doing it every day, and we want to thank and invite anybody to come on into the chat room and bring up topics or some ideas, throw them out, and we'll listen to you. I see Rennie's there. Morning, Rennie. What do we start talking about? I mean, I guess the worst thing is, let's go to the worst case scenario of we had a pay-per-view last weekend. We had a Impact Live event. But I, you know, we had a couple of debuts in AEW. We're definitely going to talk about them. New Hall of Fame entry, a new debut and a former NXT guy that I think we can save that for a while because that's going to be a bunch of jokes later. But right off the bat, last night on SmackDown, we have to talk about this. Big E breaks his neck on live TV. I mean, I had to go back and watch it because I get behind a little bit and I'll start fast forwarding through matches, you know, to the end and see what happens. And it was right there at the end of the match. Big E got belly to bellied outside the ring and landed right on top of his head. And it was, thank God the camera went off it quick because it was just grotesque. I mean, the way he landed, because he is all neck, isn't he? I mean, his head to his neck. We find out later he's in a neck, he got stretchered out, he's in a neck brace, broke his neck. And this is a guy, I mean, we have a lot of love for this dude because he has a lot of love for us. You know, some of the things he did for Rochester because of his friendship with John Huber, and earning money for our food pantries and food cupboards and stuff like that. But gosh darn, what'd you guys think when you saw it? I mean, it didn't dawn on me until maybe we were halfway through SmackDown when we started talking about it in the chat. What'd you guys think?
I didn't see it live, but I immediately went and saw the clip, and it sucks. It's one of those few situations where you get everybody in the wrestling world tweeting well wishes and showing how much they love E, and it just, first and foremost, his positivity in the video from the hospital bed is just, inspirational. The dude, he's such a likable dude more and more as the years go on, but for him to have that kind of attitude after he just broke his freaking neck, like, that's something. So you hate to see it because, honestly, what he does in WWE is he's part of a select few that I actually care to watch these days, and just, I don't know, wish him the best. But that sucks. That suplex sucked. And some of this stuff, I guess, we kind of like get so used to happening in match after match that you think there's not that huge risk, but I mean, could have been paralyzed. Luckily, he immediately said he can move all his digits and everything, but you hate to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the best thing I think I've seen is he posted a picture with the neck brace on from the hospital, but he, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic, by the way. Thank you so much. And we're on 1301 live right now. So we're, if you're in Irondequoit, turn it to 1301. You'll see our ugly faces floating on TV. But he said he had all feelings in his hands and feet. And that was a big plus hearing that. Danger, I mean, this is like what we've had in the last couple of weeks, we've had some close calls, haven't we? Didn't we see Madcap Moss land on top of his head in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, he got extremely lucky. Nothing happened. But to piggyback off what the artiste said there, this guy who had just broken his neck was in his hospital room with the neck brace on and did a post and video for everyone on social media to let them know he's okay because he worried about how we were thinking about him instead of how he was feeling. That's insane to me. There's not many people that would do that kind of thing. The absolute love that came out afterwards for him is not surprising, but it's, you know, it's always one of those bonuses you got to see. And I'm glad he has feeling in his extremities. He said he didn't really have a loss of strength, but he has a broken neck, and hopefully he can get back from that in a reasonable time. And imagine the pop he's going to get when he comes back.
DC, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I can't add much after, you know, what Artiste and Danger Boy have said, but yeah, like you never want to see this happen. But when it happens to someone like Big E, you know, it somehow is even worse. You know, there's that corny phrase that flies out in certain situations, but I think it definitely applies here. We don't deserve Big E. Like he is, he's almost one of those people that's too good.
I would agree. He has been through some, I don't know. I don't think he's had like the greatest, I don't think, I mean, he was a champion, what, three months ago? And then he's, you know, completely erased from, you know, I mean, so it's bad enough he gets hurt, but also, you know, he got, you know, the New Day is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, people love the New Day. That's what WWE put him back with. They said, okay, he ran that time as a champ, back to the New Day. And to me, it's like, I don't know how you feel. I mean, I'd love to talk with him. I would love to say, you know, how do you feel about something like this? I mean, I know he loves the opportunities on TV every week and everything, but, you know, and maybe it makes me begin to wonder, this is the second, you know, we talked about the neck injuries and everything. This is the second kind of rookie mistake by a new wrestler. You know, Madcap Moss is the one who landed on his head. This was
Moss is a lot more veteran than Holland. Moss was in NXT forever.
Yeah, and Holland. I mean, you know, it's I don't know. You saw it? It was a belly to belly. But Big E is a big dude. You know, and it's like he got him over, but he just didn't continue. And he landed on his head. Gosh, it's just sickening to see, you know, especially because WWE knew immediately the cameraman, and all of a sudden we're not on him anymore. It's like the match ends. The finish happened like seconds after that too. So it is sad, but I have a lot of love for him. In fact, a friend of mine who was like in the second row a couple weeks ago when they were at the Blue Cross Arena, wished him a happy birthday because his birthday was, I think, the following Monday, and it was Sunday that they were in Rochester, and he came over, or he was very thankful to that, and, you know, the people recognized that. But it's like, if I was up close, I would have said, thank you for everything you've done, because this is a guy who went out of his way, you know, when John Huber passed away, to do everything they could do to honor him, and you know, the food bank money as well and stuff like that, you know, auctioning off the gear after, you know, with the Brody Lee / Luke Harper images on it, you know, and he was a very tight friend. And I mean, that's one of the first things that stuck out to me too, was Amanda Huber posted she felt sick to her stomach, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. So it really, you know, hopefully it's nothing too serious. Unfortunately, obviously he's going to be gone for a while. We won't see him at WrestleMania, but it is, you know, it was such a quick thing that happened on live TV too. So if you have it on your DVR, I mean, I kind of went back and watched it, and that's why I knew kind of the extent of it. But I didn't get it at the time. But man, injuries suck, you know. I mean, and this guy, you know, I mean, like I said, he had the world, you know, in his back pocket, you know, 3 months ago, and then, you know, the belt taken away, you know, without him having anything to do with it at the Royal Rumble. And now he gets repaired on SmackDown, repaired with Kofi. No problem with that. But, you know, New Day's have some problems with injuries lately too. I mean, you know, it's just been, you know, it's been a rough time for all those guys. And man, we wish him the best, because man, and you're right, Danger. He went out of his way to let the fans know, which really, I think, shows you that, you know, that he cares about, you know, he cares what the people think. And if the last image they saw is what they saw on SmackDown, then he had to do something to let everyone know it was okay. And it was scary. It was definitely scary. I don't want to see it again. I know that. Anyone else have any other thoughts? Well, on that?
Just in terms of you saying don't want to see it again, I guess that's the only thing that is coming to mind right now, is that it makes me nervous, I guess, because there's such a small margin of error there. And I just think about, you know, even the indie wrestling show I called last weekend, like there's so many suplexes and moves like that these days, that things that we see on probably more so AEW than anything else, like that are so close, like they look extra devastating because almost because you're watching it and you're like, ooh, that was close, but they're fine. but it just makes me nervous because, like, now you see another example of, like, yeah, well, if you're going for something that's going to look devastating, but you're barely keeping it safe, like you slip that little bit or something, you underestimate the weight of the person that you're flipping over your head, whatever the case is, like, this is what can happen. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I was a television wrestler who had a match today, I'd probably be like, I don't even want to throw a belly-to-belly suplex right now. Like, it would just mentally, like, throw me off. So, I don't know. Hopefully he can come back and come back at 100% soon. But it just, like I said, it just sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at that opening suplex from the Kingston Jericho match at Revolution.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly to your point.
Just dangerous. And, you know, the thing is Big E, I think he always prided himself in his belly to bellies, you know, I mean, cause he would work them in, even if he was giving them nor, or he was taking them, that was always something it's part of his repertoire. So, but outside the ring, it's a dangerous area, you know, and that, maybe that's why Madcap Moss didn't get hurt as terribly, cause he was in the middle of the ring when it happened. And there's a little give there, not so much as much on the outside. So, it's a pretty scary situation, and I'm not sure. I think about, you know, we've seen injuries before on live TV, and sometimes they have to change the way the plotting of the show. They did go away for quite a while after the end of that match before they came back to the live ring. So it was they did stretch him out, and you know, we wish him the best. But man, that's just some scary stuff, man. And it's like, man, we'll keep you updated as we go on, you know, in the weeks to come, to let you know how Big E's doing. And hopefully, I mean, the doctor says neck's broken. Does that mean surgery? And then if it does, you know, then that's when you start taking a long time. Talk to Kurt Angle, talk to some of those guys who had, like, some of the new processes, you know, weigh out what's going to happen. And, you know, hopefully we'll come back and it'll be better than ever. But man, well, we hate to start off on such a sad note, but that, you know, that was a big deal last night, and it did explode Twitter, and it did explode, you know, a lot of the social media going on. So, so let's talk about some other stuff. And, you know, and if you have any questions, you can always, you know, in our chat room on our Facebook page, we've got everybody sitting there talking. And, you know, yeah, definitely. You know, George mentions that Kurt Angle, he had gone through that. Interesting that you bring up the name Kurt Angle. You know that this past week, Ronda Rousey has added the ankle lock to her repertoire of submitting opponents, and she gave Kurt Angle all the credit in the world to that. So it's hopefully we'll see some Kurt Angle before WrestleMania. But I want to talk about Revolution fallout from last weekend. Revolution pay-per-view on Sunday. Very long pay-per-view, I'll say. DC, you were in the theater, right?
Yeah, I was.
It was
a long night. So long, in fact, that the projector shut down because of a timing issue.
Oh, no. Did you tell me that it ended at that point?
It went off with probably 10 minutes to go in the main event. So... yeah, didn't get to see the end of the main event.
That's not very good, man. I always wondered, because it was going late. It was like, it was definitely approaching midnight, I think. So I think that it's technically broadcast started, I think it's 7, and it went to, I don't know, about 12. I don't know. It was definitely before midnight it ended, but I was watching it, but we had a lot of things happen. Danger, what'd you think about the overall? We kind of discussed it after the fact, you know, it's like, let's weigh it against AEW. Unfortunately, has every pay-per-view they've had, because they only do like 3 a year, 4 a year. They seem to have these ones that top the next one. And it's been going like that for a long time.
Yeah. So like everyone said, long, they need to do something about that. Cause I understand that very, very hardcore wrestling fans and everything love long matches. Not every match needs to be long. Not every match needs to be on the pay-per-view. But my only other gripe, and we talked about it last week, I understand that they want to make the heavyweight title feel important and be the biggest thing on the show. The dog collar match should have gone last. that match was beautiful, and it should have been the last thing that we saw. And it was tough to follow that. Other than that, great show. Best Jericho match I've seen in forever. I don't think that necessarily goes towards Jericho, though he's gotten himself into really good shape for some reason.
Well, he's probably tired of people like pointing it out his stomach and stuff. I will say that you're mentioning a dog collar match. The first match on the pay-per-view, once you buy the pay-per-view, I mean, not the pre-show matches or anything. It was the very first match on the show.
No, the first match was Jericho Kingston.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jericho Kingston. That's right. So it was early on the show.
Yes.
And it was, and that one's another one they could have built up to later, because the trios match was kind of like a layover before the main event, I think, at the end. But yeah, it was important. Though there was a lot of important matches. Artis, overall thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tricky situation because I like that there are only four pay-per-views a year, but you might have to think about modifying that. I agree that there's not much more those matches could have done. It just, once you get to match 12 of the night, what else are you seeing that's new? I mean, credit, the crowd still was fairly into it, but if you're not a diehard fan, it's a lot. And it's tough for anything to stand out. And I guess that's kind of how I felt after that pay-per-view, is like everything. I don't remember much that I didn't like. It was just a big blur at the end. I don't think, like, Hangman and Adam Cole, if you watch that match by itself, really good match. But at that point, it was just like, okay, this is good. Everything else is good. Like, is it bedtime? Like, I don't know. I thought it was, if you put that up against most other wrestling pay-per-views, it was an incredible show. When you put it up against AEW pay-per-views, which have been delivering every single time, it's average. And I hate to say that because it was really good, but the expectation level is just through the roof for their pay-per-view. So, maybe it's a little bit less exciting for people watching because there were not any title changes. Little things like that, where we've had these huge moments, you know, whether it was Hangman winning last time or Cole and Danielson, everybody, the pay-per-view before that, like we didn't really get huge, huge stuff, on this one, but I think it was just one of the more consistent shows. So, I really liked it. I've gone back and watched like some of the matches on their own, just so it didn't kind of all blur together, but, I think now I'm just curious to see where a lot of these people go storyline wise and stuff. And I don't know, some of the booking last weekend was a little weird to me. Like you had your Rampage going into the pay-per-view and you spent time on Sheeta coming back and attacking Serena Deeb, but like that had nothing to do with the pay-per-view. Why did we need that on a pay-per-view weekend when there's already 12 pay-per-view matches we've got to think about and everything else? Like, things like that were kind of weird to me. I don't know if I really want to see Hangman and Adam Cole continuing the rivalry right now. I kind of want to break from it and then come back to it. But still, really good show. And at least like that extra long break, it seems, from Full Gear to Revolution is over. Now we won't have to wait as long for Double or Nothing. But at least they mix in those TV specials that are almost like super mini pay-per-views here and there. I just feel like there needs to be more of that or something, because it's much like their TV shows. They're trying to squeeze in as many people as possible. And we didn't need a 6-man tornado trios match on the pay-per-view itself. Like there's a lot of that, like, let's just squeeze in everything that we need. Like, no, not everybody needs to be on the show. It's the same thing WWE does with WrestleMania and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and everything else. Like, I get that you want to get everybody a chance to be on there, but sometimes less is more.
Well, DC, how do they explain to people when you missed the last 10 minutes of the last match? Does someone come out there and say, sorry, folks, timing made the projector shut down? I mean, I don't understand that, you know, I mean,
They Sorry, have, folks. Park's closed.
Yeah, park's closed. And the moose out
moose
front.
Moose out front should have told you.
Yeah, certainly. You know, but then did they come in and address people or did you just guys just leave? I mean, what did you...
No, everybody kind of sat there for a good 5 minutes. Someone went out to talk to someone, never came back. So everybody left. And we all kind of formed a giant group in the lobby demanding to speak to the manager. We were a collective Karen.
Sure. Well, you're not. I mean, you deserve it. You know, I mean, I'm sure AEW says, hey, make sure your automatic projector doesn't shut off an hour before, you know, because we're going to go to midnight. It just, it, right. I think it just, I'm just dumbfounded now. I'm glad that maybe it happened in the last match because maybe, because there was other things that I think, like, for instance, the Moxley, Bryan Danielson match was incredible. And, you know, if that had been cut off, I'm certain, and imagine if it was the dog collar match that was a bloody mess, by the way. It was a great match though. And it was,
And to take back what I said earlier a little bit, the Regal thing was awesome.
I was going to say, I wanted to bring up the debuts. We had Swerve Strickland show up, or that's what he's going by here, Swerve Strickland. And William Regal comes out at the end of the Bryan Danielson, I almost got you, the John Moxley match there. And now we have a power trio, I think. You know, now we've got... You know, the tag team and the philosophical leader of they don't even have a name yet, do they? I think it's just Moxley and Danielson. But what do you guys think? I mean, William Regal, that was a surprise. There wasn't like huge surprises, you know, not like we got on Wednesday's Wednesday's Dynamite, which we'll talk about in a second. But we did get. I think William Regal's a big surprise because one. He is a personality, not a wrestler. So they brought him in as a manager / personality, you know, and you remember what, you know, how he was on NXT. He was the commissioner. So, but I'm a huge William Regal fan. I mean, the guy, you know, he retired in his early 40s and has stayed retired, much unlike some other people who are coming out of retirement possibly. But, what do you guys think about William Regal? I mean, Big pickup, obviously. I mean, heck, he bought Ring of Honor the week before. Why not bring in some more talent, you know? Danger, thoughts on William Regal?
Absolutely love it. Loved his promo on Wednesday. Loved how they introduced him. I think he's going to be a huge thing, especially he does apparently does have a backstage role, and he was a great talent scout for WWE. So if he continues that kind of role, it's a major pickup. It's bigger than a lot of people will ever know.
DC, people react good to it in the theater when he came out?
Oh, yeah, that was huge. Like, I legit came out of my seat.
Was it quite Daredevil showing up in Spider-Man? I mean, did the crowd make a clap and cheer?
No, they did. Oh. Like, the theater I was in got loud and really excited. And unlike what we saw Wednesday, this was totally unexpected. Like, this is something that didn't have any buzz. I didn't see anything, you know, on any of the websites prior to this. But yeah, to me, that was, you know, one of the highlights of the Revolution event. Is anybody else seeing George in the chat?
Yes.
Like, we're on TV. I would love to say some inappropriate things, but I can't right now.
Yeah, we are on TV. So yeah, please. Which
I'll keep it clean.
Okay. Well, you can type it in cause they're not seeing the chat. So.
Oh, that's true.
just saying that, but, any other thoughts on William Regal? I mean, how important he was to NXT and, you know, it's funny as NXT got disassembled, turned into 2.0 and a lot of people claim it's because remember Triple H, what was it about 6 months ago, had a heart condition, had to have surgery, completely has been AWOL from any programming things or anything. And then all the people that he coddled and, you know, held together tight to keep make NXT were released and let go. And they felt they wanted to start over again. And so I'm sure William Regal has some opinions on stuff like that. Maybe we'll get lucky and he'll do a shoot interview or something sometime soon. But
Did I see he taped an interview with Jericho? That'll be coming out soon.
Yeah, there was he apologized. You know, the funny thing is he cut a promo after the Moxley Danielson tag match that was on Dynamite this past week, he cut a promo, or he was interviewed by Tony Schiavone, and he apologized for taking too long to say what he wanted to say, which he shouldn't, because the fans were like, you know, eating out of his hand, you know? So it's like,
well, he missed his time. So yes, he went over, but I'm looking forward to that interview. And I'm also looking forward to more of him responding to Dave Meltzer on Twitter, because Meltzer said, made it sound like he was going to die within the next 5 minutes or so. And then he's like, everything we talked about in the interview was from 2018 when I was sick. So I'm looking forward to the interview. That's going to be a good one. It's, I don't listen to many of Jericho's interviews anymore because he has dropped off a bit, and also has some wacky conspiracy theory people on a lot of the time. But I listened to Keith Lee recently, and I'll be listening to Regal.
I mean, I'm glad that Regal didn't get cut off, because it was a very interesting, I don't even know if you can, I guess you can partially call it a promo, but I mean, it's nice to see even him, like, without the WWE like restrictions or whatever. It's not like he went into something crazy there, but that was the most honest, real sounding we've heard him talk about stuff in general in so long. Like, not just like talking like a GM or anything like that, but just, you know, about his whole journey and stuff. And I think putting him with those two, or at least those two, in Moxley and Danielson is just awesome. Can't wait to see where that goes. I know they've got another tag match coming up on Wednesday. But I just think that's a perfect use of two guys that you could constantly be like, why is this guy not in the main event challenging for the title? Why doesn't he have the title? Whatever. They're going to light up the tag division. So I love everything about what they're doing with that whole little trio.
Oh yeah, I would agree. And you know, he's a guy who, William Regal's been around since Danger Boy was a little Danger Boy, you know? I mean, seriously, he's got history with so many people involved in this sport in every aspect of it. You know, I mean, you know, for the longest time there was people, you know, because of something he did in a Goldberg match back in like, what, 1998 or 97, that his name, you know, cause he kind of, he got well known as being a shooter, quote unquote, because he wouldn't sell for Goldberg in a match. And then I think he lost his job pretty quick after that in WCW. But so he was a young man. I mean, he said he's been in this bit, you know, he's been in the United States for 29 years. He must've come when he was like 22 or 23.
He's 53 now. He's been wrestling since he was 15, I believe.
Yeah. So he's one of those guys who, you know, lives, breathes, eats, loves this stuff and depends on it. And also understands not really sure what his management or his position backstage is going to be, but I can sure probably figure out he's a genius when it comes to putting together matches. And WWE used him for NXT like that a lot, when he would, you know, they would put together matches, and then he would like come out and like structure them and things. So he's definitely a big plus. I'm going to shoot to another. We talked about Swerve Strickland. He had his debut match last night. Very athletic. Swerve, kind of, I think he got the, he's another guy who's a victim of possibly Triple H, you know, being off of WWE stuff for a while, because, you know, they were pushed heavily. He was on SmackDown at the very end and then got cut. What was the name of the group called again? Not the No Limit Soldiers. I want to say that, but that's not funny, you know? What are they called? Danger.
Hit Row.
What was that?
Hit Row.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got that first, because I never saw anything they did. But
Hit Row. So, well, you know, it's funny is there was a thing, story last week we never got to, about A&E re-upping these shows. And one of the dudes from Hit Row, Top Dollar, was the guy who was like the host of the WWE.
We talked about it.
Oh, we did. You're right.
He's still supposedly under contract with A&E to do the next season.
Oh, okay. So Top Dollar's still around, but Swerve is now part of AEW. We saw his debut match last night, but another big, we assumed it was going to happen as soon as the man was cut, was back in, was it in December or early January? It was early January when Jeff Hardy left the match, that it was a live event.
His erratic behavior.
It was a live event match that he wasn't involved in the finish, but decided to leave a little bit early. And that turned into like a big deal with WWE, which they felt that maybe he relapsed, and so they fired him. And then then he got back his test and found out he didn't relapse. He just, maybe he was just tired of where the position he was put in. Who knows? There's probably more to it. I mean, maybe we'll get a shoot interview from Jeff Hardy with Chris Jericho. But Jeff Hardy is now part of AEW. And the amazing thing is they came out to their music. You know, isn't that a WWE property? I thought
no, about, not no. anymore.
Okay.
it's like a background music that WWE licensed when they were in there, but it's owned by someone else, and they were using it, like Spike TV used it as commercial filler at times and whatnot. So they secured the rights for it and had them on TV. Just remember, if your brother is getting beaten down in the ring by a bunch of people, you should stop and do your pose at the top of the ramp.
Yes, because there's
a lot. Oh, yeah, down. My brother's getting beat down. Hold on. Got to dance.
Where's my pyros? Yeah, no, there's definitely, that's funny because I saw a lot of memes out this week about that. You know, it's like, but nevertheless, Jeff did come out. Jeff is part of AEW now. We knew it was, I mean, if Jim Ross has anything to say with this company, as soon as he said he was a free man, Jim Ross said, oh, I would sign him in a minute. And I guess his 90 days non-compete was up, what, like 2 days ago or whatever, or a couple days before.
It was the day it ended at midnight, the day he debuted.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the Hardy Boys, let's follow the last few years with them. Remember when when Matt Hardy was born again or whatever he was, you know, in Impact Wrestling. And it was, you know, and then Jeff came and was like his butler for like after they had a head-to-head confrontation. Then the Hardy Boys rejoined each other. And then they left Impact Wrestling and showed up at WrestleMania and won the titles on their first night at WrestleMania.
Oh, you forget they stopped in ROH and fought the Young Bucks there too.
That's right.
In between
Bucks of Youth.
The Bucks of Youth. That's right. So, and then, so they just kind of like, it's kind of like on rerun, you know, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about Jeff and Matt coming and tagging together again in AEW? I mean, it's kind of like Hulk Hogan showing, I'm not going to say Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry. Don't hold that against me, but I mean, it's like kind of like, you know, we're all reliving our childhood. I'm sure, you know, with those guys, necessary.
I'm not going to say this often in history. I can guarantee it, but this is one I think when WWE reunited the Hardy Boys at WrestleMania, they did it better than AEW did this week.
So I see where you're saying that. Like how I don't think there's a chance that AEW or whoever could have done it as well as a few years ago, just based off of like so much of that was not really WWE's doing. It was the Hardys had gotten so much, like there was so much interest from what was going on in Impact. And then they have like the match with the Bucks and ROH and all that stuff. And then the surprise debut was awesome. But they were also capitalizing on what Matt and Jeff, even more so Matt, had done in the year or two prior to that, that WWE smartly brought them in, got the huge pop, all of that. But you know, at this point now, like even the biggest Hardy Boy fans are kind of like, we've seen them a lot over the last 20, 30 years. I think there's going to be some fun stuff and some matchups I really want to see. And, you know, Jeff can still go and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm curious how long the contracts are that the Hardys signed at this point. Cause I don't need to see them wrestling every week or anything like that by any means. You know, it's a crowded roster and, you know, it's going to bring out even more of the like, ooh, they only use ex-WWE people. Well, none of their champions are ex-WWE, but I don't know. There will be some fun stuff. I just hope it's not like too much. I guess we'll see how that goes.
Well, you know, there's a lot of fantasy matchups, you know. I mean, the Bucks – And the Hardys, if people want to see that, maybe do it in like a stadium match like they've done in the past. You can have fun with stuff like that, I think. And I think those guys are perfect for that. You know, put them in the title match. I don't know, not so much about that. But, you know, they can have some fun with those guys. And I think I mean, Jeff was being pushed solo in WWE, what, the last, like, 2 years he was there. And, I mean, he is a former champion. So, I mean, they've got a lot of different directions they could go, but I think we're going to see tagging for a while, at least with them, as long as we don't play any breakup angles, because we've seen that enough, I think, with those guys. But I think they still can be entertaining. And you're right, Jeff can still do it. Matt can still do it. And, and then we get the fantasy matchups. I mean, you know, yes, I think they've had the Bucks in Impact Wrestling before. I think I believe that they had wrestled them before, but it's, man, we're talking years ago.
Yeah, I've wrestled them in Ring of Honor. I don't think they did an Impact. They might have also for like Northeast Wrestling or an Indie or something. So I don't know. I mean, there's obviously like people can check that out on YouTube and stuff if they want to see it now. And it's not like they can't do that match again. But I don't know. There are some matchups that'll be intriguing to see. I don't know why we necessarily need to keep the now AFO. And I don't know why Butcher and Blade didn't get a vote in the ring the other night. They're just kind of standing there. The real Butch.
Not good.
The real Butch.
The real Butch. It's another thing we'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, the real Butch.
No, there's a lot of fun stuff they can do with the Hardys. Last thing I want to see is them with the tag titles.
Yeah.
There are far too many young, talented tag teams in AEW for the Hardys to hold on to those. There's a lot of stuff you can do with them. You can have your fun. You don't need the titles for any of the stuff you want to do with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I agree, and I think I like 90% agree with that. I just feel like it wouldn't necessarily hurt to use them as like very quick transitional champions.
That I'd be okay with.
And then they'll go in history as having like every single belt that they possibly could have, whatever. I'm not totally opposed to that, but I wouldn't want to see a long run. And like I said, I mean, really, their main thing now is like they'll have some fun, they'll draw some people and stuff, but they're going to be putting over younger talent. I mean, this is going to be, to me, it's going to feel potentially like when the Dudley Boys came back in what, 2014 or something, and really they were just putting over the new tag teams
in Impact Wrestling.
They use them like that, it'll work.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same exact thing when Impact came, and they also wanted their fantasy matchups in Impact Wrestling too. You know, when the Dudleys came back, they wanted the Hall of Nation.
Dudleys in WWE when they were putting over everybody.
Yeah, but that, yeah, they had that too. But remember when they were in Impact, they wanted to have like a few. There was some classic lineups they wanted to take on Hall and Nash. They got Hall and Nash in a cage in Impact. So maybe, you know, we'll get some of those fantasy matchups. But yeah, there's some, you know, someone mentioned Edge and Christian, you know, with a history, you know, and obviously Christian has been, I don't know what Christian's been doing besides being the third leg in the Jurassic Express for a while, I guess, because Marco's stunt hurt or, you know, or someplace else.
Probably no longer under contract.
He's not hurt anymore. So, yeah.
He's not hurt anymore. So, but
I don't think we're going to see him back.
So, yeah. So, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, it's like, you know, and back the last time Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy left WWE, there was really no place to go except for Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. And those guys were on even platforms, I think, then. Just interesting to see, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, Tony Khan owning Ring of Honor, we could see, you know, some crossovers there. I wouldn't be surprised at all because, you know, they'll have like a big debut show, which they do April 1st or coming up here to the WrestleMania weekend. So, but you know, you guys on the chat room, you guys are big. I think most of them seem to be pretty big fans of Jeff Hardy, and he's definitely a talent you don't want to let go. Well, I mean, WWE did, but you know, it was kind of presumptive and they were incorrect because that's another thing was we wanted Matt when Jeff left, he wanted copies of the drug test that he did when he left, you know, the exit test, and he came up negative, or he came up, you know, clean. So he just wanted to show people, you know, the next employer that no, there wasn't drug problems, and he's had problems in the past, and you know, a lot of guys do. So you know, kudos. We'll see where they go with it. You know, I mean, it wasn't nearly like the gangbusters that when they showed up at WrestleMania and won the titles. But you know, you kind of felt it was coming, especially with AFO when
it seemed really forced.
Well, AFO was
like,
having some problems.
There was no tease tension. Like it's all of a sudden, oh, we need to have an emergency meeting. You're out. Like,
true.
Okay.
True. But it seemed like they were having some issues.
Is it because he lost the match without getting hit by the coffin drop at the pay-per-view?
I mean, in fairness to that, there's been a lot build up in the problem is a lot of it's been on Dark and stuff with the AHFO and all of that. But then it's been so confusing because there's been so many members in and out of that group who may have or may have not appeared at the emergency meeting or everything else. We talked a couple of weeks ago about it. Like, it's another situation where it feels like all of these factions are all breaking up in the same night. There's too many different things happening that are really all the same thing. Like, how many different stables fell apart the other night and stuff like that. To me, that's got to be spaced out a little bit better, so it's not like a repetitive type show. And two things I want to say real quick. One, I don't think I was on the show last week. The Ring of Honor purchase, I love the tape library and all that stuff. I don't know if we need a real Ring of Honor under the same owner. I mean, it's a chance for more things and stuff, but I wonder if Tony Khan's going to be spreading himself even more too thin. So I'm a little hesitant to see what they actually do with that, but you know, it's great that he's got the tape library and that he's the one to own it and all that stuff. And then the other thing, just to jump ahead real quick, the worst name for a stable in the history of professional wrestling is the Jericho Appreciation Society. And maybe that's on purpose to be that terrible, but come on. The JAS. Okay,
great. Hey, listen, you may not like
that's WWE levels of creativity right there.
It might be worse.
You may not like that, but at least we got rid of the double belts, okay? You know, so you gotta weigh it out a little bit, you know. But I agree. I didn't like we had a bunch of factions all break up, which is not a problem, you know, because it wasn't AEW the faction company for the longest time, you know.
Well, it still is.
There's new names.
They're shifting who's in which faction and the faction names.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then Wardlow quit, his faction this past week, and now Wardlow is the super face apparently, or going to be, you know. And listen, that's not, you know, if we had made our predictions before the pay-per-view last weekend, I think that we would have probably picked Wardlow to win that ladder match, the Futures ladder match, and he did. And kudos to him. I mean, let's see if he can ride it all the way to the championship, or at least if someone gets a champion, maybe not a championship, but we'll definitely get a MJF versus Wardlow kind of like maybe like a violent match, you know, in a cage or something. But
the one thing I was almost disappointed when they started the pay-per-view and they were advertising DraftKings like crazy. And I was like, okay, let me look and see what this is. And it was only like, you couldn't really bet on matches because it's whatever. Predetermined.
Yeah. It's only who does this or how long are they?
It was literally just the main event, the Cole and Hangman match. And like, with Cole and Hangman, like, I don't, the whole night to me, the only thing that didn't seem predictable to me was Thunder Rosa not winning. And then they made everything after that super predictable. It's like, oh, okay, so she's just going to beat Layla and then win it in what will probably be a cage match in San Antonio. And then exactly all of that kind of down. Like, so I think that's a problem they're running into, is they're getting too predictable with some stuff. The way they're building up storylines well. But then like, you kind of know what's going to happen. The Thunder Rosa thing was literally the only thing that surprised me on Sunday night. So I don't know if that's a great thing, but.
Real quick side note, I'm a belt mark. I love that new women's title.
Yeah. It's definitely an improvement.
Yeah. There was a lot of things we expect. I mean, listen, I think William Regal showing up was unexpected. So there's a couple things that maybe were unexpected, but
I guess more than anything, like the win loss results.
Sure. Sure.
All that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think we were going to have any major changes in titles. It would have been nice. I mean, the most of the matches with the most going for him had no title involved anyways. So, you know, or an opportunity at a title, things like that. So,
I mean, I will say this, at Revolution, they wrapped up some stuff. They obviously kept some other things going, but I think they did a great job Wednesday night of kind of setting up a lot of future arcs and stuff. I'm really interested to see what happens this Wednesday. I mean, our chat group was buzzing on Wednesday night with, will this happen? Won't it happen? Which, you know, I don't think we ever do that with WWE. So they've got us hooked with some stuff.
Yeah, I think Wednesday's Dynamite was a great show. And then this one's going to be one, too. We get a cage match on a free TV. I mean, that's a big plus. You know, you don't see that often, that's for sure. Especially in AEW, you know, just because, they're kind of a new, and, you know, traveling with a cage is probably expensive, I'm guessing, as well. But, you know, they... I'm tired of cages, to be honest with you. There's got to be something different soon, though, you know. But it is a good, you know. I mean, you know what? With Britt Baker, the way that, you know, everyone felt that, you know, she squeezed out that win on the pay-per-view, and squeezing out is a nice way to say it, because no one felt that she should have walked off with that title. So, you know, maybe we're going to get a TV title change. That would be super exciting on Wednesday. I mean,
we're absolutely going to get a women's title change on Wednesday. I would. If DraftKings was taking bets on it, I'd be putting everything on Thunder Rosa Wednesday night in San Antonio. And it'll be fun to watch. I mean, I like AEW doesn't do too many cage matches themselves. And I like, you know, they've got also that big cage where that is going to keep Jamie Hayter and Rebel and Mercedes and everybody out of the cage. And I mean, the match between Britt and Thunder, I wasn't super surprised by this, but underwhelming at the pay-per-view. This will be back to being really good and entertaining, and that crowd's going to be hot for Thunder. And I mean, I think it's going to be, that'll be a lot of fun. And I want to have faith that they know what they're doing enough. I think they do, in terms of that has to be the main event on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Has to 100%.
You know, did you guys realize, I think this past week was the infamous anniversary of, I think it was the exploding cage match.
The exploding ring match.
Yeah, exploding ring match.
Yeah.
We all kind of hang our heads in shame. But I just want to throw that out there, because it's like there was a rest in peace Eddie Kingston post that I saw from a year ago. It was very, very funny. So that was in my memory. So I just wanted, you know, we haven't seen anything that bad in a long time. So, which, you know, thank goodness, you know. But
Darby Allin missed coffin drop was pretty bad at the pay-per-view.
Well, Matt Hardy's fault. But
yeah, true that.
I don't know. I was a little surprised, honestly, with I don't know, immediately going back to it, like Keith Lee throwing Orange Cassidy, and he overshot, was it Christian and Starks at the pay-per-view. And then last night on Rampage, Keith Lee did the same thing again, which luckily it wasn't like an overshot, but like one of those things, I'd be like, yeah, why don't we wait a week or two? Cause OC got hurt on that on Sunday. And that's not exactly the easiest thing to know how far this person's going to be thrown, and trying to catch him on the outside or whatever. Like, that was a little uncomfortable. I don't know. I really enjoyed last week where there was the one night of a live Rampage, and it felt like Rampage mattered again. And then last night I was just like, eh. And then special time next week after the NCAA tournament.
Nobody's watching.
Super, super special at 11:30 PM at the earliest, depending on how March Madness goes. But Yeah,
that's, I know, 11:30. It may be difficult to watch it before we do the show next week, but you never know. I mean, you know, depending on how the games end and whatnot, it is the NCAA basketball time. So I wanted to go from, I brought up the exploding ring match just to lead into another bad thing that happened yesterday, and that would be the debut of Pete Dunne to SmackDown.
Though, that's not his name.
No, well, Pete Dunne, you might remember from NXT maybe the week before, and now he is known as Butch. Part of Sheamus's crew. I just shake my head. What do you guys I mean, listen, I wasn't absolutely sure it was him until I saw it. It's like, oh, that looks like Pete Dunne. Oh, yeah, it was Pete Dunne, unfortunately. And
there's no justifying this decision whatsoever. But, like, it's not – you're not making him more unique. Everybody knows who he was and is. It's just another terrible idea from bad creative. Like, okay, let me go look up some information on this wrestler. Let me Google Butch. And you're going to get a million. You're going to get Butch Reed. You're going to get Butcher and a Blade was like the second thing that pops up. You're going to get all of this stuff. Like, stop. Like, what is the point of that? These one word names are just dumb. It's the same thing. If you Google Gunther, like, you want to have unique names for your wrestlers so they become stars and people know who you're talking about and stuff like that. And I don't see one possible positive to calling him Butch. If I was him, I would be like, no, I'm going back to my hotel. See ya.
I have expected him to start dancing and trying to sell me newspapers, like,
you know, or clean the chimney, right? You know, chimchimery.
But now we can look back at that 5-star match that once happened between Gunther and Butch.
Yeah, if you guys aren't big fans of NXT, you know, this Butch.
I did love John Silver tweeting out last night, it's all about the Butch. Well, that's probably the only positive thing to come out.
I will say something later on SmackDown. Pat McAfee was talking about joint manipulation and mentioned Butch in the same sentence. He goes, "Ben, you know, we got Butch now, you know, joint manipulation." You know, it was like, oh, okay, so is that going to be part of Butch's gig still then? He's going to, you know, grab the hand and pull the fingers apart and things like that, you know?
How do you go from the bruiserweight Pete Dunne to Butch?
I think, not that I'm going to talk about him much anyway, but I'm never calling him that again. especially like, everybody who only knows Andy Williams as the wrestler calls him Butch. Like, the whole backstage, they all call him Butch. His autograph is literally Butch with an exclamation mark. You couldn't find anything more unique than Butch for this guy. What? Like, I mean, even call him like Pete Butch or something. Like, come on. It's just so stupid. There's no justifying this whatsoever. It's just like, they're trying to make bad decisions just to make bad decisions, just to get people to talk about it. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is I there was people's reaction to it last night. There was apparently something came out during the before the show started on SmackDown where they said there's going to just be a terrible decision you're all going to see tonight on SmackDown. And voila, we got it. Butch, Pete Dunne.
I mean, can you see, like, is there a point in the future where I mean, obviously you can tell they don't have the same faith in all of their wrestlers under contract, their superstars under contract. But like, can you see a point where somebody's like, oh, are you going to watch WrestleMania this weekend? Yeah, I think Butch is going to win the WWE title.
Like, from Gunther.
It doesn't matter how great of a wrestler
Universal
he is. Like, if
champion,
that's his name, no. Butch. Not happening. His career is over. His WWE career is over.
Well, we figured he was going to be relinquished because he was another Triple H guy, you know, with NXT. I think that, you know, maybe they saw something. But so now he's part of the gang. He's part of the Sheamus gang, you know, wearing the floppy hat.
He's the new Sheamus.
He's the new Sheamus. Well, the funny thing is, you see, if you got to watch the promo where they introduce him, they're like, oh, we've got a bad guy that's joining us. Oh, you can't wait to meet this tough guy. He's the toughest guy around. And then there's Pete Dunne. And it's like, is this what they're talking about? It's like, it took me a second to figure that out. And it's like, oh, and he's got like a floppy hat, you know, he's wearing the floppy hat, you know, looking like he came from 1920s, England, you know, because that's the look they're trying to get, I guess. But, you know, we were hoping that Pete Dunne would have been, you know, let go. I mean, listen, kudos to him. He's on a, you know, and you know, my beef. If you're on USA on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's all equal. And he was on USA on NXT on Tuesday.
Well, now he's equal on to you. Now, but if you listen to the Keith Lee interview with Chris Jericho, once he started getting those big main roster paychecks, there was definitely a giant difference between being in NXT and being on TV for NXT and being on TV for WWE.
Well, I'm happy for Pete Dunne as the professional wrestler, getting satisfaction by being on SmackDown, being added to the SmackDown roster this past week. I don't agree with what, you know, the whole thing of how they did it, you know, or what, you know, the, you know, what they're doing. But you know what? I mean, you know, we've seen, and this is quote unquote call up, even though I think it's even, you know, even you know, being on a network channel or whatnot. But, you know, kudos to him, you know, and everything. But, man, this just doesn't look like it's got any sort of longevity in it at all. You know, unless I could be wrong. I'd love him to become a breakout star and surpass the people he's with. You know, unfortunately, that's just, you know, his debut also happened in the same match that Big E broke his neck, which, you know, is terrible. But, you know, I just wish the best for him. But, man, does that mean we're done on NXT, or will he show up on NXT as Butch? Another thing I want to bring about NXT is we had Dolph Ziggler win their title this week. Is that, and to me, that means WrestleMania season's coming, because they want to put the title on a WWE guy, not an NXT guy on NXT. Any thoughts on that, about Dolph Ziggler taking the title off of Bron Breakker?
I really don't have a problem with it, because I think it's a transition, because Bron's getting called up. I think they've seen him. They showed it. He was on Monday. I think Vince has seen him. Vince knows the family he's from. He might not like one of them. The other one's looking like he might go into the Hall of Fame this year. So I think it's a transition to get it off, you know, to go to Stand and Deliver. And Bron's going to be on TV after, or on main roster TV after WrestleMania.
Well, you know, I mean, and we're getting plenty of Ciampa on Raw. You know, he did get away.
Well, Breakker did an interview afterwards, and he says, "I don't know what my immediate plans are," and this kind of stuff. That's not someone who's entering a program to chase the belt again. That's someone who's moving on to something else.
Oh, that's good. Then I think that's not a bad thing then, you know, but will he be?
He does need to smile more.
Well, he certainly barks enough. He reminds me a lot of his dad, you know, Rick Steiner.
He looks like his dad and talks like his uncle.
Rick Reichensteiner or whatever, you know, his real last name is. But what does this mean to NXT to take the title off of one of the NXT guys and put it on a WWE guy? I mean, does that mean, you know, yes, we got Mandy Rose with the women's title, and has she defended it? Since she got it, maybe once, twice. She is, she came down from Raw, I believe, and now we've got Dolph Ziggler, who I don't have a problem. Makes it more important if it's a WWE guy holding their title, and maybe it makes their title more relevant in the WWE universe. I don't know. It's a lot of changes, and I'm not absolutely 100% behind all of them with that, but. I do give Dolph a lot of credit, you know, and it's nice that, you know, I mean, he's treading water. Every time they bring him out, he loses, you know, and it's nice that, you know, him and Robert Roode there get to go show up on NXT, and, you know, and he wins the title. So anyone have thoughts on this?
The only other thing I'm going to say about this match is I watched the match live, and there was an awkward spot where right towards the end, it looked like they were setting up for the end, and Breakker comes running in and then just kind of dives underneath the bottom rope and waits outside. And then they go to the next spot, and that was the finish where he speared him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He ran out of the ring.
Right there.
Yeah, he ran out of the ring. I saw that, too.
He literally just dove out of the ring.
Yeah, if you watch it, it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be in the ring for this part of the match. And then we got the finish on Ciampa. So it was yeah, I saw that too. It was like, you know, and that's why, you know, this is, you know, quote unquote the minors, you know, but, I don't know. I don't know how that mixes up with everything in WWE, but I guess, you know, I think as we get closer to WrestleMania, like I said, if you can put a belt on someone more recognizable, because that's what they think, at least, mate, you know, they do the research and everything. But kudos to him, you know. So. We're to the point of the show where we're going to do some random news. Random news. And we've done a lot of it already anyways. Let's see. Oh, so there's a new show that's going to be coming out here starting March 24th on Peacock. It's executive producer is John Cena. And it's going to be called WWE Evil. And I think it's a really interesting show because they're hour-long programs. There's going to be 8 of them. And what they're going to do is they're going to take a character and show how they go to the dark side. with the first.
You're saying it's Marvel's What If on Peacock.
It sounds like that. You know, it's like, I mean, listen, Impact is doing the multiverse when they're having Ring of Honor, New Japan taking on each other during WrestleMania week. Why not? So, yeah, it's
only if you look at the rundown, it is just all people who were evil characters.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, but Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan went to Hollywood after he turned his back on the fans, you know, and became Hollywood. You know, I mean, yeah, you're right. A lot of them are evil all the time. I don't ever remember The Miz being a good guy, but they do a Miz show. Sasha Banks, Brothers Destruction, Randy Orton. These are all one-hour shows. Stephanie McMahon, Ric Flair, and Roman Reigns, and they all show how they turned and how their turn happened. And that's what WWE Flair
might need to be like 4 hours. He turned baby and heel multiple times.
And he goes back and forth. But I think
for
it's
40 years.
I'm looking forward to it because it looks like, you know, I mean, they've got the footage.
Imagine the one on Big Show.
You couldn't. You'd have to flip a coin. It'd be changing every 5 minutes.
That's a whole season.
Yeah, definitely. So I think
many turns of Big Show.
But it's interesting that they've got all the footage, so they can go and, you know, you do the footage leading up to the big changes, and I'm kind of excited to see how this comes out. But it's starting on Peacock March 24th. There'll be 1 hour program, so you definitely want to check that out. It's called WWE Evil, and you know, and it's an idea of John Cena, and it's a very smart one. So,
real quick, Cash, I wanted give a thanks to Michael in the chat. He's given us Big E updates. Apparently he posted another update saying C1 and C6 are fractured, no displacement, but he will not need surgery.
Oh, excellent. Well, broken bones are better than, you know, than tendons and muscles. So, but is it the C1s are the higher ones? I think so. I hope not.
Want me to bring in a consultant? I'll go fetch Dr. Laura.
Yeah, get Dr. Laura. Ask her at least where the C1 and C3 are, if you know, because I think they're higher ones. But so some other news while we're getting the doctor to come join us. Steve Austin responded to Kevin Owens. He saw it last night on SmackDown. He said, "I will guarantee you, he'll be there in Dallas, Texas for WrestleMania." And it doesn't matter what it's going to be, whether it's an interview segment or a wrestling match. We've heard stories. Steve Austin's going to has a ring on the Broken Skull Ranch that he's been training to wrestle. We'll see what happens. You know, maybe it's just a couple moves. You know, I mean,
it's going to be a fight.
I was going to say
it'll be one of those fight things where it's not a real match, but they do match like things.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's Steve Austin, you know, he can do an Undertaker match, just punch all the time, you know, punch, 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 throw fists.
Have Goldberg drop you on your head?
No, we don't need that. Keep Goldberg away from him. So DC, the good doctor could pop in.
The good doctor is ignoring me.
Oh, okay. So we'll figure that out.
I'll keep trying. Her hourlies are expensive though.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. C6 would be by where the neck and the shoulder blades are. C4, C6 is spinal surgery. So, he landed on top of his head and his head twisted. So, so let's get to some other news. Steve Austin's going to be at WrestleMania. That's a big sell for if you're in Texas. You know, he's going to come and defend Texas against Kevin Owens. You know, if you didn't think that was going to happen, then you're not a fan of the storyline, I guess. Vader was announced into the WWE Hall of Fame. Of course, his time in WWE, I would not call Hall of Fame worthy. Honestly, his time in WWE, but his time in
not at all.
His time in the world of wrestling, yes. New Japan, WCW. Mick Foley, he's been a proponent for when Vader was alive. He was a proponent to get him in Vader. But when he came to WWE, they just didn't know how to use him right. Unfortunately, and
when he came to WWE, Shawn Michaels cried and they didn't use him right.
Yeah. So he could have been a big monster, and they were working him in that direction, and it just didn't work out. Unfortunately, he got arrested. He was supposed to be in Rochester for Revenge of Taker 2. We had a In Your House in Rochester. He was supposed to be here. And he slapped a guy in Kuwait, Kuwait City on the TV on the morning show to show him wrestling was real, got arrested and couldn't fly to Rochester for the pay-per-view. The 3-hour paper, or was it 2-hour pay-per-view in those days, the debut of Rockabilly. I was there. I mean, we're talking what, 19s. It wasn't quite the 2000.
1997, I believe.
Yeah. 1997. So, but Vader, we all knew him from WCW. He was a big monster. He signed a huge contract with WWE and then just kind of fell apart. Have any thoughts on Vader? I mean, yes, Boy Meets World. You might remember him from that show. He was on
that there. Tells you how his WWE run was, is that's what they opened with and had in his promo was
Boy Meets
World stuff.
I saw that.
He definitely worthy, definitely a fan of this. I wish they had done it while he was still alive. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I grew up on more WCW back in the day with his feud with Sting than I did WWF. So I'm very happy for this one.
Artis, do you have any thoughts? I mean, this is like pre your time almost, sort of, kind of.
It's deserved when you look at his wrestling career. I agree that the WWE part isn't all that huge. I was not really a big fan of his. And then I shouldn't say this, but not my favorite like person in real life to ever deal with either. But like, I think, he did a lot in WCW in Japan and stuff like that, that he certainly has the resume that's a lot better than some people that are already in there. So it is definitely deserved.
Coco beware.
But I mean, again, it's just kind of like at this point, it's like you've let in people that don't deserve to be in there. So there's never a debate anymore. Like
Drew Carey,
pretty much everybody they could say should get it. That everybody they announce going forward that's in there and be like, well, yeah, they deserve it compared to people that are already in there. So why not?
Yeah. But I mean, and that's what that's what we have to base it on. You know, we have to base it on, who's in there already. And there's a couple that,
Too bad. Like, I mean, it makes sense because WWE does it and stuff, but it's almost weird to me that it's called the WWE Hall of Fame because, like, obviously they're not going to call it the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And we know that there's like kind of a separate one and all that. But I mean, a lot of these people that deserve to be in there or are already in there, it's not from their WWE time.
No, you're right. You're right. And there is a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame that used to be in near Albany, New York. It was in Amsterdam, I believe, New York, which covered everything. And we used to have dinners.
Now it is in Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yeah, it's moved. We used to have dinners for it in this area where they would have us come out and, hang out with a bunch. I've got some pictures, old pictures on the Pain Clinic when we were hanging out with Johnny Valentine and Angelo Mosca.
Released a couple of 2CW shows that were that Hall of Fame weekend, and then all the inductees would be there, and that was one of the times that like Terry Funk was in and just telling stories in the locker room and stuff. Like those are some fun weekends, and it was a cool little place to tour around in Amsterdam with. Had a bunch of Owen Hart stuff in like one of the cases, and so it's too bad that's not up here anymore.
Yeah, but they actually had asked me if I had anything I'd want to put this in there, and I didn't just because it wasn't a permanent facility. I was waiting for them to find a permanent facility. But, I mean, I've got, like, some of those Legends dinners autographed. I have a couple of them autographed program that came out where they had, like, that's when it was supposed to be Bret Hart was supposed to be there. And unfortunately, Owen died like the week before that. And so they had to cancel that. And they sent one of the other Hart brothers.
Did we get Smith?
Yeah, we got Smith Hart. Yeah. And, I've got
speaking of someone else to deal with in person. Yeah. Are we getting Bret Hart in AEW now? Is that what's going on with Tully getting fired tomorrow? Rumor. I mean, Punk has obviously mentioned him quite a bit too, but I'm all about it if it happens.
Yeah.
I obviously got the Owen Cup coming up, and
I thought maybe they were impressed by the work of Alex Abrahantes and they wanted to bring him into the whole
thing. God.
If you've followed the show before, you know that the Artis is the biggest fan of Alex Abrahantes.
No, I couldn't stand him as a manager before, and then he comes out like he's in the ministry from 1999 with his robe
cloak.
And,
yeah,
nobody believes you. Nobody believes that you're a bad guy. You're the least believable heel of all time. Take that guy off of TV. Put him back in Spanish commentary. Put him doing his pre-shows for Dynamite. He's like, you could even if you see him on anybody's like vlogs and stuff too, like super friendly dude that is just not believable whatsoever as a bad guy.
You know, the funny thing is that he did
Big Bird would be better at playing a heel.
He did look like kind of like Christopher Daniels, like maybe he borrowed one of his cloaks or something when he was out there. It was either that or The Undertaker when he was like when he put Steve Austin on the Undertaker symbol and then lifted him
poor
to the
Christopher Daniels, but you're not wrong.
No, it did. It looked very Christopher Daniels-ish. So so let's go on to some other news beyond that. Orange Cassidy, we mentioned it earlier, suffered a shoulder injury at AEW Revolution. Not enough to have surgery, but he'll be wearing a sling for a while. And he'll just come out, you know, and not care and kick people in the ankles and, you know, but not probably get involved in it, in anything in the ring for a little bit because he did injure his shoulder. So when he was launched by Keith Lee, which we mentioned earlier, and, you know, the way he landed. So not good for him. Former WWE superstar Wyndham Rotundo will be making his first post-WWE appearance this weekend. He's scheduled to appear at Showcase of Legends 7 in Albany. And maybe that's where that Furby is because tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 to 2, in Albany, New York. He'll be available for meet and greets, photo ops, autograph signings. Prices for his appearances include for autographs, $100. Premium autograph for $125. Belts or 11x14 masks. Those are the premiums. Inscriptions for $20. Those are three words. Professional photo op for $110. $300 VIP. This is his member. This is his first appearance. He's not coming as, you know, anything but himself, I'm guessing. You know, I don't think he can, you know, bring his mask and stuff. Maybe he will. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures from this. But this is tomorrow in Albany, New York. Several WWE Hall of Famers and wrestling stars will be appearing with Rotundo, along with AEW Women's World Champ Britt Baker, Dustin Rhodes, Hall of Famer, WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus, Impact Digital Media Champion, and NWA World Heavyweight Champion Matt Cardona. There's a bunch of people. This is up in Albany. The tomorrow Showcase of Legends 7 in Albany, and I think it sounds like I'm looking forward to the pictures when people taking pictures. I want to see just what he looks like, because he was making a movie. That's what happened after he left WWE, is he signed on to make a movie. I want to go to some news faster.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a ton of cash to spend,
apparently
you're a wrestling fan. I mean, like everybody is at that signing tomorrow. I could hear some of the names you mentioned there, but then there's also, I think that goes till 2 o'clock. And then later tomorrow in Albany, there's a big time wrestling show that has a lot of those people, including the Hardys are working, they're wrestling against Cardona and Brian Myers. There's a ton of stuff on that show too. So worth checking out there's not always reasons to go to Albany, but there's some stuff tomorrow if you like checking out the.
Yeah, I think the storm.
Boring state capital.
I think the storm that we had is pretty much done with here. It's just going to be cold and windy, you know, for the next couple, you know, until it's 50 or whatever, but. Some other news, on to more. Cody Rhodes, WWE return situation is said to be back up in the air. The latest edition of a certain newsletter reports that WWE has creative plans to set up a surprise Rhodes debut to happen immediately, as in the next week or so, with Rhodes to set to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 38. Now, we haven't seen Seth Rollins talking about WrestleMania or anything since, you know, so maybe there's some legitimacy behind this rumor. WWE Creative was reportedly told this week to hold off on working on the Rhodes versus Rollins creative until Rhodes signs his WWE contract because they had already worked on the creative, but then they had to stop when they weren't sure if Rhodes was returning. So Rhodes' WWE return is not a dead deal, according to the report. Upper-level WWE sources have noted that they don't know what happened with Rhodes' talk. It's not a sure thing that his return has fallen through, as talks were ongoing during the week and he could still debut immediately. We were talking last weekend. We thought maybe he'd show up at MSG last weekend. It didn't happen, thank goodness. But it looks like, I mean, if they're talking like just
Raw is from Jacksonville this week.
Raw is from Jacksonville this week?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I guess if we're going to see Cody Rhodes, maybe that's a good place to start. You know, I mean, he only lives, you know, they've only been there for 100 times in the last year, 2 years, 3 years. So
if they are going to bring him in and bring him in on TV before WrestleMania, it needs to happen Monday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If it doesn't, then I suspect it won't happen. Not for a while. But you know what? You got to get on the hot hand. You know, I mean, obviously they want him, you know, to they want him. I mean, they're interested, obviously. I think he had a contract offer with AEW and let it go. So that's what I heard, at least. You know, he didn't resign. So who knows? There's probably a lot more to it than this, but we'll see what happens with Cody Monday night. Keep your eyes on WWE Raw. And if you don't watch WWE programming, keep your eyes on Twitter, because I'm sure we'll know probably about 6 hours before Raw if he's in town. You know, it just may be. Other news, WWE champ Brock Lesnar is now an official bearded butcher, which is a company that sells like steaks and stuff online. And the two brothers, the Bearded Butcher brand, Scott and Seth Perkins, Brock has joined up with them. And now there's, if you go online to their website, the Bearded Butcher, and you type in Brock at checkout, you get 10% off your entire order. And it's like, if you see any of the pictures from this, it's like a lot of meat. A lot of huge slices and cuts of meat, you know. So it seems kind of up Brock Lesnar's alley. So he's going getting into a little bit of a business there, selling steaks, 6 ounce, you know, 4 ounce pound seasoning buckets, all sorts of things. So kudos to him. AEW had a signing this week. This is probably one of the last pieces of news, so we'll be getting done pretty quick, unless you guys have some questions in the chat room. But this past week, we saw AEW officially sign MMA boxing star Paige VanZant over the prone body of Ty Conte, which, you know, I thought was interesting. Paige VanZant kind of, she said that, Paige VanZant was a UFC fighter and promoted heavily by Dana White in the UFC. Very pretty, you know. I mean, very pretty UFC fighter. So you don't get a lot of those combinations, you know. I'm not saying they don't. You don't, but you do. But you know, she just couldn't win, and so she kind of, you know, her contract elapsed in UFC, and now she said that after a couple appearances on AEW that she was really super psyched to do anything with them, and she's already being trained to wrestle. So it'll be interesting. Paige VanZant, you know, added her to the crowded women's division already. But you know, when we get two matches on a pay-per-view, of two women's matches, or sometimes more than that,
three, really, I would count.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a problem with them bringing another woman if they're going to give them that much time, you know. Go ahead.
I'm fine with them. I mean, it could work out really well. I just feel like this is another one of those situations where like a wrestling company signs somebody who doesn't really know how to wrestle yet. And they don't really have, like, I don't know exactly what their deal is with QT school and all that stuff right now, but not everybody there is like signed to a contract.
Well, supposedly she's like training with Gangrel.
Okay.
I feel like people don't I feel like they might be jumping the gun here, because obviously they've also had her on TV a bunch and had her out there at the end. I didn't like the signing the contract in that moment, because I feel like for at least 10 seconds or whatever, it took away from Scorpio Sky winning the title. Obviously Paige found a good spot to sign the contract and make sure that the ink, you know, hit the paper and all that stuff.
Yeah. On a body in the middle of the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. There could be potential there. And obviously like her and Ty like have very similar backgrounds and stuff. So that could be a good feud. I don't know if Paige is ready for that yet. Like, is she ready to have matches soon? And if not, then why not hold off a little bit before you actually have her making these appearances and stuff now, even if you want to sign her and just have her training and stuff. I just, I don't know. Maybe she's ready, but from the little things that she's done, I don't think that's the case.
Well, just remember, they're TBS champ. How much experience did she have, you know, in the beginning, you know?
Well, and that's a good point. I think that you can't do that too much or with everybody, but we've certainly seen Jade improve week after week. And I have to say, after last weekend, it's weird to word it like I'm all in on Jade Cargill. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I didn't think I was going to say this.
Wow. But
like, the improvements are there. The effort is there. Seeing what she's doing with the appearances and her confidence, Mark Sterling's been helping out quite a bit and stuff. Like some of the stuff she did in the match, the frog splash, things like that. Like she has a long way to go still, but the amount of improvement, the only other person I think that's improved even close to that much on TV in that company so far is Ty Conti. But she was better at the start than Jade was at the start. Jade is on her way where if she continues to improve, yes, I could see her being a gigantic all-time women's superstar in pro wrestling. There's a long way to go, but I don't sigh like I used to when it was time for her matches. I guess I'm starting to buy in.
Jade is a giant woman in general, anyways. You know, much bigger than most other women in that division. So yeah, well, you know, and plus she gave a lot of credit to Cody Rhodes this past week in some of quotes from her on you know about getting in the business and everything. So
some of the videos and pictures and stuff I saw from that fan fest last weekend, like she seemed like the best person with the fans, and she'll be really good with media appearances and all that kind of stuff. And she has the look, she has the connections, she has, I mean, like what Danielson came out and said, like he wishes he had that kind of presence. Like it's something, like she's got a lot going for her. So if the wrestling part continues to improve, like it needs to, it still needs to, then in the end, this looks like a smart thing. Did they need to have her start wrestling on TV as early as she did when she wasn't ready? No. I don't know if you needed to do like this whole huge undefeated streak. All I know is whenever you do end that streak, it better mean a lot for whoever ends that streak.
Oh, it definitely has to be a big deal. So yeah, I agree. Coming down to the end of all this, Rob, can you talk a little bit about the Excite show last weekend that you did? That's why you weren't here. ESW yeah, show. Sorry.
Excite is today. If people are looking for something to drive through this weather to go see in Binghamton, but ESW was last weekend in Niagara Falls. Place was packed. Kevin Blackwood successfully defended his ESW title for the first time against surprise opponent Ricky Shane Page, which is really good. There's some really good moments on the show, but basically it's set up to, the next show is Saturday, May 21st at Riverworks, which there's a ton of stuff happening on that show, including Buddy Matthews against Trey Miguel, which will be awesome, and a ladder match for the now vacant tag team titles with To Infinity and Beyond against the High Seas. So Colin Delaney and Cheech against Captain Nick Ando and Cloudy, which in my mind is a huge, huge deal for this area. So it was a lot of fun last weekend, that show, with commentary from myself and ESW legend Super Beast is up on IWTV if you're looking for some wrestling to watch on this chilly afternoon.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is our official St. Patrick's Day Saturday. So thank you for bringing this up. That's why you weren't here last week. I completely forgot about that, but not really. You say Trey Miguel's coming, huh?
Trey's coming. I think it's great timing because I obviously they had agreed for Buddy Matthews to come in for a little bit, but now the timing is just perfect with him just debuting. And that when they put up the video announcement during the show of Buddy Matthews coming, that got quite a pop. So definitely looking forward to that. Those shows at Riverworks are super fun. Like the last couple, including last week, were in Niagara Falls, which is a great venue too. But I mean, as we like, any wrestling show, anything at Riverworks, it's just a good venue. I wish we had something like that here that actually had good acoustics.
I'll tell you, it's a great place for roller derby too, because they got the floor built into the, you know, the track built into the floor automatically. That's, and I've seen Ring of Honor there. I've seen NXT there. It's a great place for wrestling, you know, definitely a lot of fun. So you definitely don't want to miss that. One last thing before we get out of here, New Japan Wrestling is, if you follow their New Japan World show, they've got a show that's going to air tonight on New Japan Pro Wrestling World. They're on demand, and we get three matches are announced so far. Kevin Knight versus Hukuleo? Is that how they say it? Kevin Blackwood and Ariana Daivari, and Jay White has the Jay White Open Challenge, which that's one cool thing about Jay White is he does it everywhere, the Open Challenge. So, you know, you see him on AEW, he's got the, you know, he's got the Open Challenge. You see him on Impact Wrestling, he's doing the Open Challenge, and he's doing it on New Japan Pro Wrestling TV tonight too. So I can't think of anything else. Anything we missed we want to talk about at all? I mean, we have a very packed show. I think our debut show on cable channel 1301, because it worked this week. I don't know if you guys saw earlier when I turned my computer around and you could see us on the TV. So we're TV stars now. We got to use maybe a little bit more, you know, make a pancake makeup or something. No, or maybe, you know, maybe get the sign up better in my behind me next week. But it worked this week. So, hey, I want to thank everybody who's watching us on 1301. And I want to thank you guys for, you know, being here. You know, I've got a pretty big week for AEW. We're going to get a cage match this week. I think it's a good thing to talk with. It probably will talk to create a lot of banter amongst us and the people in the chat room. Johnny Knoxville, he wants to talk about. You want to talk about Johnny Knoxville? I don't know. There's nothing really advanced from the Johnny Knoxville stuff from last week.
Well, he did the viral marketing thing that was on TMZ yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Where he had the plane flying around with Sami Zayn's phone number on it.
Yeah, I did tweet Sami Zayn, too, and I said, please beat him senseless. That's what I asked him to do. So, I don't know.
Might not take much.
I don't think Johnny Knoxville has much sense to him anyways. It's something I don't really care about. It probably will be a Saturday WrestleMania thing. But anyone got any wrestling stuff going on this weekend besides nothing?
I was disappointed you mentioned there Blackwood again, and I think I'm curious – Malachi Black had to back out of his match against Kevin Blackwood last night, which is disappointing because I was really looking forward to that, and I hope that gets rescheduled. So Blackwood wrestled Frankie Kazarian instead, but I don't know if that means Malachi might be missing some time or not. Hopefully not with everything that's going on. I love those promos they're doing.
Oh, big time. I love it. I love the just the format of it, how the guys kind of appear out of behind them and then just disappear back into the black.
It's good. Yeah. I know tonight is GCW from Center Stage in Atlanta. So probably check some of that out tonight. But
I think Joey Janela,
lighter wrestling weekend.
Joey Janela is on that show too. I thought I saw his name attached to it.
Gresham, Jordan Grace, all the usuals. Yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. So I want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for on Facebook. Thank you guys on channel 1301 here in Irondequoit. You can catch the shows live. We're live on Facebook Live, but we're also live on cable access 1301. And we got another week in the bucket. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Rob, Mr. Ortiz. Thank you, DC Dan Cole in North Carolina. Danger Boy, always thank you. And let's run down to the parade and shovel out of space next to the road where we can sit in the wet ground. No, maybe not. Well, no. Until next week, body slam somebody you love, folks.